to you.
Yeah. Although you look kind of green with those green walls behind you. Sort of Hulk-like.
Don't care. He ain't my daddy.
Yeah. So, welcome to week 644 of the Crankcast.
Not last week was 644.
Nope. It must be an Emmons day. Okay, then. First order of business. I think we need to switch from Skype.
Where are we going to switch to?
That's what I'm trying to find out. There is a program called Discord.
Discord!
Why?
It's the favorite of the gaming community and Nazis.
Oh.
That's a real tough Venn diagram there.
Well, okay.
It's not made by Nazis, right?
No. I mean, they don't support Nazis. It's just, you know, Nazis were using it to, organize because it was a fairly secret and, way to have check groups.
Okay.
Why are we... Whoa, that's strong! Ooh,
I use Discord.
Yep.
So
why are we using Discord? Why do we not want Skype, is what I mean?
Skype, I mean, honestly, it began before Microsoft bought it, but ever since Microsoft got a hold of it, it's just been getting shittier and shittier as far as the program goes. They keep adding new shit in. It updated on me the other day to a new version with a totally new UI, and they, were removing privacy features and shit. And plus, it wouldn't recognize my audio, so I had to downgrade just to get it to work.
You could start a Crankcast Discord channel so your two listeners can talk to each other.
Hey, there you go. So, are your experiences with Discord been okay so far?
Yeah,
I love it.
Okay. Because I saw that they had a Mac, but it was still in a beta version or something, a Mac version.
I only use it on my iPad.
Does that mean most Nazis are PC users?
I think that's always been the case.
I don't know.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're right.
That's not very nice.
Well, the whole IBM thing.
I mean, geez. Anyway. But I think as far as us using it goes, it won't be much different than using Skype. It's just we won't be using Skype anymore. Ah, the fan. That lovely machine gun rattle.
It got worse.
I think a bearing's going off or something.
I think you're a bearing.
No, I fight bears.
He totally, he burned you, Crank.
Okay. What is with this hostility this morning? I don't understand.
I don't know.
So, I don't know, but maybe we should run a test run or something at some point, each of us grab the program and install it and see if we can make sense of it.
Right now?
No, I mean, we're recording right now and it's working.
Want to do it right now?
No.
We can do a
drunk cast over the weekend or something.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
We'll talk about pertinent issues and stuff. I don't know.
Is that what you call it, drunk cast?
Well, I mean, when we're drinking and we're making a podcast, it seems logical to call it a drunk cast. I know you like the Crankcast at midnight.
I do not.
Well, that's what you called it last time we tried it.
Oh, I didn't. I called it Crankcast After Dark.
Oh, Crankcast After Dark, sorry. We could call it Crankcast Up All Night.
God damn it, I was just going to say that, too.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, we'll talk about that later, though. We'll try it. What else is new?
I don't know.
We had an ice storm here.
A what?
An ice storm.
Really?
Everything was coated in ice. It looked like everything was in glass or something.
Did it shut you down?
No, we didn't lose power here anyway. I mean, I'm sure somebody did, but we didn't. I didn't. it was just kind of a pain in the ass yesterday getting it like off the sidewalks and off my car and crap like that. Although my front porch steps were pretty easy. I was able to wedge my fingers under the edge of the step and just pull it off in sheets. So now I got like piles of ice shards in the yard. But
ice shards. Yeah. Shards in the yard! Shards in the yard!
It's the shard yard. But it's warmer today, so it's, you know, stuff's all melting.
It's shards good. In the yard!
It's good.
It's good?
It's good. Have you ever seen something called Five Nights at Freddy's?
I have heard
of it. Oh, yeah. Did you just hear about this?
It's not even really something that interests me, but my friend's, like, 10-year-old daughter's gotten into it.
Oh, yeah, little kids love that shit.
And she was showing us videos, and I'm like, I mean, it's kind of a cool concept, you know? The whole...
Creepy as hell.
Wait, is this Brian's kid?
Yeah, yeah.
She's 10?
This year, she'll be 10, actually. So I guess she's still 9, but, yeah. It's almost her birthday, so I'm thinking of her as 10.
It's essentially a gamified version of what's that one on Sega CD?
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
Yeah, but like the concept I thought was pretty cool. It's like murder kids' souls and inhabiting the bodies of these, like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese Funtronic kind of animatronic.
Spoilers.
Animals. No, that's the backstory, dude.
Oh my god.
But and they like, they see themselves as being, like, normal and well-maintained, but then, like, when you really see them, they're all, like, fucked up and monstrous-looking. And they keep switching views between them. Like, it's a game, right? I've never played the game.
It is a game.
I've just seen videos of it. Like,
it's barely a game.
Yeah.
It's a what?
It's not really fun from what I hear.
Oh.
There's a lot of them, though, right? There's, like, 5?
Yeah. That's a good jump scare.
Yeah. Isn't there a comic at this point, too? I remember there was a lot of media.
Well, it's popular.
Yeah, they have a little toy line at Target.
Yeah, Funko has figures. They have plush figures and shit, you know, and little action figures. And... But yeah, I realize it's been around for a few years, but like I said, it's not really something I'm all that into. I'm just kind of amazed that she is. You know? Because the videos, like, they have music videos and shit, too, and they're kind of creepy. But, anyway, I was just wondering. I didn't know. Really? Oh, and I decided to stop talking about Smallville. I had this whole bit worked out where I was going to start out all nice and chipper and positive in my reviews and then slowly each week get more and more deranged. But, you know, you kind of ruined it last week, so.
You didn't want us to just constantly berate you for it?
You're a ruiner. You wouldn't let me do it. I don't care if you berated me. You just wouldn't let me do it.
We told you to keep going.
You ruined it.
I really liked that you started playing the theme music. That was pretty awesome.
But, yeah, I was going to get, like, slowly, so by the time I got to season 10, I was just out of my mind talking about it. But
yeah, well, you don't do very good with bits, though.
In hindsight, I probably should have informed you I was doing a bit.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have let you.
Right, and on top of that, I kind of wanted your unfiltered response, yeah, to it. But
well, that I think that was the best choice.
I didn't think the unfiltered response was going to result in, like, you know, nuclear bombardment.
Stop hating terrible. Stop liking terrible things.
Well, and that's the thing. Okay, I'm coming to realize at this point that it's not a terrible show. It's like any show. It's got good shit and bad shit about it. It's just
How far did you get?
I'm still watching it. don't get me wrong. I'm still watching it. I'm just not really going to talk about it all that much. But I'm on season 7 now.
Okay, that's about where I dropped off.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, like I said. It's got good shit and bad shit, but it's still more entertaining than what I watched at Gotham. So.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Again, I don't know. Gotham might have gotten better. A lot of people still seem to like that show. So.
People say it came around after I stopped watching, but that is a high price of admission for that show. It's frustrating because I enjoy all of the actors individually, but once you start putting them together and making them talk to each other, it's so grating.
Yeah, and that is really frustrating because that's something I thought Gotham had going for it was the cast, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody's got really enjoyable, like, monologues stuff, and then you set it up and you're like, I don't want to watch this anymore. And
yeah.
Everything involving Bruce Wayne is terrible.
Those shows lack a key component.
I also understand that I'm probably not the target audience for that show. So
it really bugs me that somebody thinks, hey, let's make a Batman show without Batman in it.
Yeah, but I mean, Smallville's a Superman show without Superman.
Yeah, and it's terrible.
At least Green Arrow and The Flash and Supergirl all have their characters in them.
Yes, they do, don't like, they? They still haven't learned a goddamn lesson because of Smallville. They're putting more of that shit out.
Gotham could have worked for me if it was like that comic, the Gotham TV comic.
Yeah,
we're like, Batman's around, but he's not like a character.
If you saw him,
so good.
If you saw him every once in a while, yeah. And the stories were good, yeah, sure.
You know, that could be cool. He's just like this guy doing shit, and like, they talk you, they're like, is Commissioner talking to him again? And like, you just could see them in the background, maybe up on a roof or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's never gonna happen.
John
fixed
the show.
So
that could have worked.
It could have.
Oh, well.
I wonder if they scrapped that idea because they canceled Law & Order finally.
What?
I mean, the first one.
You son of a bitch.
What?
Dum-dum.
It's been canceled?
What did you just say?
What?
I have a nervous breakdown.
Head explodes, scanners like.
Did you really like Law & Order?
Everybody fucking liked Law & Order.
Absolutely.
It's impossible not to like
Law & Order. Law & Order is a national goddamn treasure.
Whoa.
SVU is still out and Prime is off is a travesty.
I'm sensing some strong emotions here.
I said absolutely, guys.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That is Mike's strongest response.
Is that his ultimate response?
No. Keep in mind for later episodes, because Ryan's not on this week, that the audience is to take a shot every time Ryan says absolutely.
Can they take another shot every time he mentions dicks?
Does he talk about dicks a lot?
He talks about dicks a lot.
I never noticed that.
He sees dicks in art.
Is it being recorded?
Say what?
Is it just when he's being recorded? Because I've never noticed that either.
No, I've noticed it like when we've gone over revisions on books and shit. Like, I did something one time and he's like, yeah, it looks like a dick and balls. And then another time he brought up that he saw some dick in art or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not seeing it, but whatever, dude. You know? And then last week he was all about the dick.
Hmm.
Hey. Of course, it was Dick Butkus, but I mean, he's still.
We're all about the dick. We just don't all talk about it.
When it comes to art, I assume I inadvertently draw a dick in there somewhere.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes you can't help it, right? Things look phallic.
That's what happens when one of your key influences growing up is Geiger.
So it's all about biomechanical dicks for you.
It's gonna happen.
Bio Dick. I think that's one of the movies in my 50 pack.
If it was, we would have watched that over Blood City.
I fucking forgot you made me watch Blood City.
Again, only half my fault on that one. I'm not going to take the full blame. Oh, I wanted to watch Old Man.
Which one's Blood City?
Which doesn't sound better.
Blood City, I'm sure you watched. It is a movie. It's a movie with Jack Palance. It's a lot like The Prisoner, where these people are
They never even. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a lot do. Like a lot of things.
Yeah, it's like Westworld and The Prisoner, where these people are in a simulation, and the simulation is this old West town. And
if they were to remake it, it would be a really entertaining film. The original is not very good.
And Jack Palance is the sheriff.
Decent cast, though.
I just mentioned one person. How can you say decent cast?
I'm looking at it on IMDb, dummy.
Oh, okay. Decent cast. Who else was in it?
Keir Dulia. However you say
it. Oh, yeah. Name. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying there's a bunch of people I recognize from other shit, man.
Who is that?
What do you mean, who is that? He was in a movie. He was Lewis. He was also in 2001. No? Not working with me here?
2001 what?
A Space Odyssey?
2001 Dalmatians?
2001 Dalmatians is my favorite movie!
He was Bowman?
I like it when they're all running in the circle on the space station.
Right. It's just a blur of spots.
Why did Kubrick make this movie?
Why did Kubrick do this?
Because he's fucking insane, that's why. I mean, jeez. Alright, anyway, whatever. So, you didn't like Blood City, is what you're telling me.
You did not.
Take me down to Blood City.
Damn. I did like Body Melt.
Oh, yeah, that's another one of the Ausploitation classics.
Yeah.
That was fun, yeah.
It did make me think that Peter Jackson is not as an original as I thought he was.
No, I think they're all just nutty down there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. I thought he was New Zealand, though.
He is New Zealand.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
New Zealand's not Australia, though.
Isn't it?
Might as well be. Oh, man, the hate mail you're going to get now.
I don't think anybody listens to us down there.
I really don't think New Zealand's the same as Australia. And I'm the guy, I mean, granted, I get, you know, all the Nordic countries confused, but...
I feel like that's a...
They're all the same country, too.
Yeah.
What do they call it up there? Scandinavia?
Is that the group term? Yeah, I think, right?
Yeah, Scandinavians.
So am I... Is Nordic a bad word? Should I not be saying Nordic?
Yeah, it's actually a... what do you call it?
Is that a slur?
It's a slur, yeah, it's a slur.
Is it? I don't know.
No.
Well, I only recently found out, like, in the past year and a half that you shouldn't call gypsies gypsies.
Hmm.
I never knew.
I still do. Whenever I see a gypsy, I call them a
what
gypsy.
What is the preferred term?
Romani.
Romani.
Right. Really? Gypsy's actually the slur. Huh.
But according to my big, fat gypsy wedding, they're called gypsies, and those are the two distinctions. Now, this is a TV show that was on the Learning Channel.
Oh, I did not know what you were talking about.
I still, what?
You just made up a show.
That is a real show that Julie and I watched all the time.
My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, people still make offensive stuff and put it out there as the thing that you're supposed to say. It doesn't mean it's actually the thing you're supposed to say.
They don't call them gypsies in the show, but it's the title of the show.
What do they call them in the show?
They're travelers.
That was my favorite canceled 80s TV show.
Travelers.
Was that the one where they traveled through the Magic Pyramid?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I remember that show! What was that show?
It was...
I hate you.
I think that was...
Their guns were upside down!
What? How dare you? How dare you talk? Stop it. Go to bed.
They traveled through, like, the eye of the pyramid, right?
I just sent you to your room.
There was one show like that, and then there was another show called Tut and Tuttle, where a kid got inside of a framework pyramid and had a crystal, and he went back to the Egyptian time.
Stop it.
That is not the one I was
thinking. But yeah, there's another one where a family went through a magic pyramid.
Yeah, the family through the magic pyramid, and their guns were upside down.
Yeah, they wound up in an alternate universe where they were getting hunted. And they had every week they had to escape the bad guys.
What the fuck was that called?
That was,
The high point of the show was just they had upside down guns?
Yes. Well, and they looked at a dollar bill to see the eye of the pyramid that they went through or whatever.
I hate you.
No, this is real, though.
I'm looking it up now. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, their guns were Uzis upside down, I think.
Yeah.
Otherworld, that was the name of it.
Otherworld, yeah.
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 Back to Australians and New Zealand people. They're not the same, but they are definitely totally the same. They're definitely related.
Well,
is this one of those the map makers were wrong the whole time? It's really just the same place they counted it twice.
You're gonna tell me the people that made Body Melt are not like totally New Zealand schlock fans?
Well, that might be a vice versa though, isn't it? Because wasn't Body Melt earlier? Then
no, that was a '90s movie.
Was that '90s? Wow. Okay.
It's all jungle music.
It's definitely '90s. The two guys in it are dressed like the Fresh Prince.
It's 1993.
They definitely don't want you to call it jungle music.
It's jungle music. That's it. God damn it.
You're a jungle.
Because I'm
by Splatstick Peter Jackson films like Bad Taste and Brain Dead.
Did it come out before or after?
No, it was influenced by. It came after.
Your face is influenced by.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Body Melt was 93, so, yeah.
That taste is like 87 or something like that.
But, yeah. Whatchamacallit?
I guess that I have stuck my foot in my mouth.
Dead End Drive-In was a solid 80s movie, though. That was awesome.
I apologize to all of our listeners.
Oh.
I hope they will accept my apology.
Man, I completely forgot Howling 3.
Yeah,
which one's that?
The marsupials, I think.
I thought 4 was the marsupials.
Well, Howling 3 is listed as an auspultation movie. No, 3 is the marsupials, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's a freaky movie, too. What is it with them and their movies?
I don't know.
Why? Why are they so weird? Stop being weird, guys. What's up?
No, I'm trying to think. There was another movie. I think it was New Zealand. It was either New Zealand or Australian. It was that one about this guy works for some sort of like crazy laboratory, and he wakes up one morning and everybody's gone. Like the planet's, the Quiet Earth. That's what it was called, the Quiet Earth.
Mm.
And it was, I think, in '80s or early '90s, but I think it was '80s. And it was like really fucking weird movie. And it was either New Zealand or Australian, but I can't remember. The accents confuse me when I can't, when I don't actually know, you know. But yeah.
Yahoo Serious isn't that far different than like some New Zealand shit.
What do you call it? Flying Concords,
yeah.
Flight of the Concords. Well, their accents are different.
Sort of.
Yeah, New Zealand accent is way more extreme.
I think there are way more differences between New Zealand and Australia than there are between the U.S. and Canada.
What?
There are way more differences between New Zealand and Australia than there are between the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, that's because we go out of our way to be assholes.
I don't go out of my way.
Yeah, it just comes to you naturally. Ba-dum-bump. Dead End Drive-In. That's a fun movie.
Guys, I don't want to complain, but...
Not true.
What do I complain about? Name one thing I complain about.
Complaining?
How much time do we have?
Name a thing I complain about.
Every time I walk in the room.
I don't complain. I look at you funny. That's not a complaint.
You silently judge.
That's not complaining.
That's still sort of complaining.
Nope. It's not.
You complain so much you've had to find loopholes around complaining.
No, I'm getting tired of being told I'm the complaining
See,
person.
See, now you're complaining about
that
it.
That is a legit complaint. That's an actual complaint.
You complain enough that you preface your statement by saying, I don't want to complain.
No, that's not true.
Well, I mean, if it walks like a duck.
You don't complain as much as some other people in the
studio. That's true.
So what don't you want to complain about?
Yeah.
I'm drawing an entire page of a man lighting a pipe.
Hey, man, it takes a while.
Can you just put the...
It's not a pipe.
Yeah, it's not
a pipe. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know what you're trying to do here, Mike, but...
We can talk all about dicks now.
Do you mean dicks when you say pipe?
He's smoking pipe, dude. Oh, artist, why do you make me cover all your art with stuff?
You don't.
Say what?
Don't cover my art.
When you don't, bitch. When you got the script in front of you and you see all the same dialogue I do and you don't leave me enough room for it, I have to. That's all I'm saying.
You're fired.
Just waiting for that textless artist edition.
You're fired. Just fired you. What do you think about that?
I mean, sometimes it's not always like this, but it's especially frustrating when the art and the layout by itself are pretty nice. You know, like it's a beautiful looking page. It's just art.
Pretty nice.
Like, you know,
just start doing all of your text at like 5% opacity.
It's just I start wondering at some point between the writer and the artist. Well, you know, when you're working on farmed out books, like I don't think the artist and the writer talk. You know, that all goes through the editor probably, but like there's just sort of a lack of working together kind of thing. I guess I don't know.
I think also a lot of artists have never lettered their own book before.
That would help. I mean,
except for that, I'd say other than that, there's depending on what they're doing with it, there's kind of a market for just page art as prints, and if you've got a lot of dead space hanging out.
Right. I mean, that wouldn't look as good as a blank, you know. Yeah, I understand what you're saying for resale value.
But, I mean, as far as, like, time constraints, if you're on a tight deadline, that, you know, that's the kind of thing. Like, hey, you don't need to put a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of this is going to be covered up by text.
Exactly. When you're looking at, I mean, and frankly, if something's getting that much covered in the panel by text, that's probably too much text for the panel to begin with. But,
right.
You know, I mean.
Sean's point is pretty on, though. It's like, as far as like, if you're not thinking about where the lettering is going to go, just because you don't have that in your head.
Yeah. I guess you don't have that sense of the space needed for it because you're not used to doing it, right? I
mean, right.
Like
right.
If you're laying it out in the computer and you have the script available for it, like I don't, like I always just paste in all the words into every panel as I'm drawing the page.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Just so I can see how much room there is. Even then I fucked up, but at least it helps.
I don't do shit.
I screwed myself over I don't do sequentials nearly as much as anybody. But the last page that I did, I thought that I gave myself enough room for the layout, and then I brought it in. I was like, oh, I did not plan this well at all. So it's good practice to make sure to at least pencil something in ahead of time for lettering.
I wish I could say it was a problem with even just like an inexperienced kind of problem, you know, like new artists or people that don't, but it's like, I've worked with people that have been working for a long time and I've still have run into problems.
Okay, I get it.
By and large, you're not too bad, Mike, actually.
I know I'm not bad.
I mean, I've had tight panels with you, but...
No, you have.
Tight?
And I've known it when I've done it, too.
And you just didn't give a shit.
Well, no, I just knew there wasn't anything I could really do about it.
You could shrink everything by about 15%.
Or felt like doing.
All right. Well, there you go. That's probably the better answer. Yeah, I mean, because sometimes it's just a matter of don't fill the panel, you know? Just shrink everything by 10, 15% and leave some air somewhere, you know? But, I mean...
You're just going to go and do what you want to do on my stuff anyway. I don't even bother telling you what to do.
That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true.
You just run over me.
That's not true.
Do what you want. You write your own dialogue sometimes.
That's really not true.
You have corrected things.
I corrected things.
Yeah.
That's not the same as writing my own dialogue.
How dare you change my dialogue?
How dare I make things spelled correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. won't do that anymore.
Hey, I think I've almost finished writing the first arc.
Oh, good. Are you? You said something about having to maybe redo the, since that issue's been done so long.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I was sorry, because it has been like a year since I started on it.
I went back and looked at it after you said that, and I'm like, well, yeah, some of these jokes are kind of dated now.
What? Really?
Well, like Kafifi and stuff, you know? I mean,
I like that. I think that's a good barbarian name.
It's funny, but it's like, I mean, that was all a year ago, you know?
That's all I care about.
Never forget, Greg.
If it worked for Dave Sim, then it works for me.
Okay. There's a model.
Well, I'm going to have a little less misogyny in mine.
Just a little.
I mean, Maul's wearing clothes now. Come on.
Yeah.
Alan's actually annoyed by that.
He preferred coloring the
new. Yeah.
Well, it was easier because she was always laying down.
Alan wanted to do.
She was always laying down in a bed. I mean, that's like, was she ever upright in the first five seasons?
No, but that was the point of the character. I know that it's not appealing to some people, but that's her whole point when I initially thought of her was everything was an exaggeration of that genre.
I'm not bagging on it. I'm asking a question. Was she ever upright? I can't remember.
No, she was always laying in bed.
Okay.
I mean, her name, even, Maul, that's what that is. That is her character. She's a Maul.
Okay.
But she became something else.
All right.
Just like Black Sasha is just Sasha now. Because she was the Red Sonja, but people thought that was insensitive, too.
Oh.
But I think that's the characters growing.
They have arcs?
Yeah, I don't apologize or feel bad for making them.
Well, they were parody, weren't they? I mean,
yes, that's exactly what they were.
Oh well, not that you cannot be offensive, but you know, you're going to offend somebody somewhere, unless you do something so milktoast that it's so completely inoffensive that it's not interesting.
Yeah, milktoast is offensive.
Okay.
It's offensive to panty waist.
Something so white bread?
Don't say panty waist either.
Can I say white bread?
No, that's offensive to wheat bread.
Oh. Wait, this isn't why you need to change servers, is it?
Yeah, this is why we're getting. This is why we're on Discord.
This is a horrible segue, by the way.
I'm going to get upset if you start accusing us of being Nazis.
Achtung!
Achtung, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that reminds me of something I was thinking about the other day.
What?
What was... Okay. I should know this. I'm going to preface this by saying this is a very dumb question. Yeah. And I probably could look it up, but...
Is it about Smallville?
No, that's later. No, my question is, what was the point of the Berlin Wall?
What, for real?
Josh,
the short or the long version?
Josh is going to tell you.
No, I mean, but why?
It separated East and West Berlin.
Right, right. I mean, it's a wall. I know what a wall is, but I'm saying, what was the point of building a wall? Why couldn't it have just been checkpoints or, you know, fence or whatever?
Well, they had those too.
So, I mean, like, I'm not really sure. When the war ended and Russia got control of that half of the, you know, Berlin, like, did they build a wall so people wouldn't run away from that half Berlin? Or,
Well, I mean, like, essentially, yes.
Because they didn't.
I mean, it was a city, right? Like, we're not talking like this is a big country or something.
I mean, essentially, they just didn't want to lose the population. Is that the point? Like,
they didn't want it ended up becoming a proxy war for the Cold War, like, obviously, on one hand, and so nobody wanted anything to kind of mix in that way. But I'm sure that there was some there's probably something we were trying to preserve on our side, but on their side, definitely they were trying to prove that communism worked, right, and was better essentially, and they couldn't do that if everybody wasn't playing by the rules.
The reason I was thinking about it is because, I mean, it's not like there was a wall around Russia or a wall around any other communist place. I mean, there was a specific, when you say the wall, that's the wall, right? I mean.
Well, but there was also no, I mean, there are walls around every communist place that adjoined a democratic place.
I thought they were mostly just
like
roadblocks and checkpoints and shit. Like, not like an actual physical big brick wall, you know?
But there are plenty of physical big brick walls too. But yeah, I mean, like I guess what you're saying is like, well, why didn't they do that every place? And the answer there is partially, well, it wouldn't make sense to build a wall around a place that was like bordering an ocean or something like that. But then also, like, it's just not practical to secure to do a wall along the entire border of a country, just for example. But there, it is completely.
You mean like China?
Right. Totally.
Just to pull it out of my ass. But to put a wall in a city, like, totally possible.
Right, but I guess it was more of a symbolic thing, right? I guess then at that point.
Well, but I mean, it wasn't really symbolic in that, like, you really couldn't cross it. They were really serious about it.
It was a big damn wall.
Yeah.
It was solid as shit. And
it's a lot harder to control a city without that. A larger space you can.
It was along the there were a lot of checkpoints in between the other side. You know, there's like the canal.
I mean, imagine if you had a city like imagine Chicago, right? And some certain members of Chicago were citizens of one country, and the other half of them were citizens of another country. And the citizens of country A had certain, rights and abilities, like under like socialist programs, and the other half didn't. But they all look like Chicagoans, right? They all started out here. They all have lived here all their lives. Like, you don't want them like just jumbling around, because how do you even manage those people?
Yeah, it seems all kind of pointless, right?
And then build a wall.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems from the get-go something that's doomed to not really work to begin with. I mean,
well, that's why you need a big-ass wall. Yeah, the only workable solution there was to not have one city, was to have two cities. Sadly, the two cities were right up against each other, joining, and so they had to make a really big thing to separate them.
Huh. Also, it made for spaceship to be fucking sweet as hell.
What?
Yeah, there's like a whole genre of media that we wouldn't have without it.
Yeah.
My grandma used to cross the border.
Yeah.
To go do
spaceship.
Spaceship, essentially.
We wouldn't have Atomic Blonde. We wouldn't have Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Wait.
We wouldn't have had a Pink Floyd album.
Who did this?
My grandpa.
Your grandpa was a spy?
He was an intelligence officer.
Are we just now hearing of this?
It's been declassified.
Because everything was fucking classified.
Then that's not now.
You did.
Oh. Sorry, Grandpa.
Did he bury information anywhere?
He definitely interrogated people in way terrible ways.
Oh, God.
No, he was not a nice person a lot of times.
Oh, jeez. Did he interrogate you, Sean? Did he?
Only with his love.
Oh, did he interrogate you with his love? Interrogate me with your love.
Sean, do you want
to get some
Beanie Babies?
Korean soldiers to bring him back across, because the other side had just sent these guys across the minefield. So this guy told him to go get these guys, so they had to figure out how to get across this minefield.
Hmm.
Well, I guess he succeeded.
Yeah. Got blown out of a helicopter.
You got blown out of one?
Mm-hmm. Like,
mortar went off and he fell out the door.
Damn.
He got blowed up?
He got blown out.
It didn't hit the helicopter, but the shockwave knocked him out of the helicopter.
Was it in the air or was it on the ground?
I think he was like 30 or 40 feet up or something like that.
So
knocked his wind out pretty bad.
Man, I'm surprised you're not making spy comics about your grandpa.
Well, I don't know it. That's all I know. These are everything he said. And also,
it's a really short comic.
He talks so slow at dinner when you'd ask him this stuff. As a
like 12-year-old, my mind would be going crazy. Like,
yeah.
Just talk faster.
Yeah.
It's trying to think of what all was it classified. So it's just like, what can I actually tell you?
Like, Jesus Christ.
Is this your mom's dad?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking of a joke, like, was his name Coca or something? But
that's not funny.
Well, because his mom's name's Sugar.
Yeah. He's dead, man. That's not cool.
He did.
He did!
His name was, like,
that was funny.
Sucrose or something.
Sucrose?
Yeah. Codename Sucrose. Double Ought Not.
Double Ought Not.
Thank you.
Okay.
I always like to hear a... God damn it. Beverly Hillbillies joke in every episode.
Well.
All these millennials fucking love it.
Do you think there are millennials listening to this?
There could be. We don't know.
Mm.
They're waiting in the wings to kill us.
Mm. Really?
Well, they kill everything else.
Mm-hmm.
According to the media.
Which they're in the process of killing.
See? Millennials. Anyway.
Do, 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 do.
Bink. What else is new?
I'm drawing Professor Broom.
Who's that?
Hellboy's dad.
Is it spelled B-R-U-M-E?
No, it's not. Would you like to attempt to try and spell Professor Broom's name?
B-R-O-O-M-E?
No, try again.
There's an umlaut in there, isn't there?
Would you like to try, Jonathan?
Oh, I'm happy if I can spell my own name.
His name is Professor Trevor Broom.
I've seen it spelled out, too, and I can't for the life of me remember.
B-R-E-U-M-E?
Nope.
Is it spelled B-P-R-D? B-R-U-M.
It is spelled B-R-U-T-T-E-N-H-O-L-M-E.
Wait,
actually, there's no E on the end.
Say that again.
B R U T T E N H O L M.
Brutenholm.
Yeah, it's pronounced broom.
Huh. Is that real?
That is real.
No, I mean, like, is that how, like, in real life, how, or is that just like a Hellboy made up thing?
I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is that I was reading the script and I was like, who the fuck is Professor Brutenholm? And then I looked it up and I was like, that, what?
Huh. What do you know? Names are weird. Mike.
Mm-hmm. I'm a monster.
Yeah, you are. Let's see. I can give you an update on my experience with the Nostromo tool thing I've been using.
Oh, hell yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
Remember I told you I got myself a left-hand pad for shortcuts and...
Oh, right. And macros and shit?
Mostly it's going really good. I don't have to refer to the chart of where I map things anymore.
You've been using it?
Yeah. I'm still wondering if maybe I shouldn't switch to like a Logitech pad or some other pad, except... Okay, physically the hardware on this has some issues. The bottom row of buttons are too close together, so sometimes when you hit one, it snags on another, and you key two things at once. I think I can fix that by popping the keys and sanding them down a little bit to give it a little more of a gap between them. But sometimes it futzes up, too, where it, like, I'll hit the button and it doesn't do the macro for some reason. I have to hit it again. Don't really know why. And the one reason I don't want to switch from this to, like, the Logitech, because the Logitech's got more buttons and it looks like it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of good things about the Logitech, but the Logitech doesn't have the scroll wheel with the middle click, and I really like that for getting around on a page. So I don't have to hit, like, spacebar to bring up the hand to move around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, like, well, you can't do that when you're in, if you're in the type tool and you're, you know, fucking with your type, you hit the space bar, it makes a space. You can't bring the hand up unless you go and select the hand, you know? So by having the scroll wheel, I can scroll up and down or hold shift and scroll left and right and not have to worry about that, you know? And I can also use the scroll wheel to zoom really fast without having to hit, you know, control plus or control minus or go up to the navigator or whatever.
You are the navigator.
Yes. So I really like having that scroll wheel. And so far the mechanical problems I'm having, I think I can either fix or they're not that big a deal, you know? But it is really, I'm getting quicker. And even now I feel like I'm working a little quicker than I did just trying to do shortcuts and multiple key entries and mouse clicks and stuff like that by having all these macros on hand. So I still have to move my hand over to the keyboard for some stuff, but I've got them like kind of right next to each other, so it's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And also I like it because having that pad a little further away changes the position of my arm and my hand, so I feel like I'm putting less stress on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tend to rest my wrist really hard when I'm using a tool, like a, you know, pencil or a keyboard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was part of what's, you know, caused me problems with the wrist aching and stuff like that in the past. I don't know what it is. I over tighten jars and screws and shit like that too. You know, like for some reason I tend to, or like when I'm playing guitar, I tend to grab the neck too hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of just a light touch.
Yeah, I do that with my pen.
And yeah, the pen's the same thing. Like that's why I had to wind up hacking up that rubber grip and putting it around it so I wouldn't be grabbing the pen so hard.
Yeah. Maybe I should do this.
I like that too. I've been doing that. That was last year, I guess, when I first decided to try that. And it works really well. It gives me a nice large area to grab with my fingers, and it's squishy gel stuff. So it's not like I'm not wrapping my fingers around the pen anymore. You know? I'm actually kind of holding it with my thumb and my first two fingertips, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that also seems to have helped my wrist out a lot by changing my grip on my pen. So, yeah, that was something that worked out pretty well. And it was cheap enough to get, you know, six of these little gel things and just slice them open so I could wrap them around the pen. I know some nicer Wacom, however you say that, some of those have, like, that grip already built onto the pen, where it's, like, got a fatter contour kind of for correct finger placement or whatever, you know? But, yeah. It's weird to, I don't know, you think at a certain point you kind of know what you're doing, and then you realize that you can find a better way to do shit. It's like constantly learning, or constantly, you're never perfect, no matter how long you've been doing something.
Mm.
I don't know, maybe there are perfect people. But I find that the longer you do something, and if you're actually paying attention to it, if you're just going through the motions and you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over once you reach whatever proficiency level you get to, you know. But I think, for me anyway, I think I'm always going to find, if I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, I'm probably going to find a better way to do it, or a more comfortable way or something, you know.
Better way, yeah.
So, yeah, you know. Have you watched any other good movies lately? Or bad movies, for that matter.
I've watched lots of movies, but none of them have been good.
I saw you had one of those packs that I've got, too. That sci-fi 50 movie pack or whatever.
Yeah, I've got a lot. I've got packs and packs and packs.
Yeah, I've got, like, cheesy 80s pack and action 70s pack and stuff like that. Because you can get them so cheap. I mean, the movie quality's not great. Because they're shoving like two movies on a DVD or something, but
mm-hmm.
I finally watched the original Old Boy.
Was there? Oh, there was a remake of that, wasn't
there? There was a remake.
I forgot. Which,
now having seen that, I'm curious to know what they did.
I liked Old Boy the first time I saw it, but I haven't seen it.
It is
in 10 years.
There is a bit of irony in forgetting if I've read into completion the original mangas, because I know I started it, and I do not remember. Like, I remember the beginning, and I remember the end. But so, do you remember the movie that well?
More or less. Mostly I remember highlights, like that hallway fight scene and shit like that.
Yeah, there's some amazing shit in there. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but if you've not seen it, it is an incredibly affecting movie.
Well, it's a fucked up mind fuck of an ending, too. Like,
yes, that's the core of it. Like, the last 10 minutes, when I was just, like, jaw on the floor, because I really could not believe that if I had read that in the books, that I would have forgotten that.
Right.
But yeah, it is, if you've not seen it, definitely worth watching. And now I'm very curious to know what direction they took the remake. Because I didn't hear really anything.
It's kind of the same, it's just boring.
What's the remake? When is the remake?
Is this Will Smith? And now, is he in America for this?
It's not Will Smith.
Who? Wait.
It's a Spike Lee movie with, what's his name? He's playing, what's his name in Infinity Gauntlet?
Brolin? Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's, is it out?
It came out like years ago.
Yeah.
And it's Old Boy?
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Olsen, isn't it?
What am I thinking of?
Is it the same ending and everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm.
Was Will Smith in a remake other than, maybe I'm just mixing up,
I think Sam Jackson's in it.
Yeah.
That was, what was that, like 2010 or something like that, when that remake came out?
Oh, it might be later than that.
Oh. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I was pretty sure it was when I was back here. It wasn't like when I was still in Chicago.
I guess I'm probably just thinking of I Am Legend for the casting. I forgot Brolin was in the...
But, I never read the Old Boy comics.
I don't remember them that well. I remember them being good. I mean, yeah, you're able to get into more. Like, having the movie so freshly in my head, I don't know if I want to have more character development on a lot of stuff, but I remember it being all really good.
I saw the original and I never wanted to see it again.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
But it was just...
I can't believe it took me so long to watch it. I finally just did on a whim.
The main thing, but when I said it was like a mindfuck of an ending, wasn't it? It was like, there.
No, it is.
It wasn't the twist or anything like that. It was just so emotionally draining, like,
yes.
And so depressing. You know,
not a twist.
Yeah, I mean, it's all pretty fucking. It's a hell of a gut punch, and I don't know if there's any.
You got gut punched.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling like. Bleak. Very bleak at the end of that movie.
You're bleak, bitch!
Yeah, there's enough in there that you don't know how to feel about a lot of what they're presenting.
I was like, good.
Sean wanted more.
Best of all possible worlds.
Yes!
Finally, a movie did what I've always wanted.
Oh, man.
This movie gets me.
Maybe they'll make a TV show out of Game of Thrones.
Oh. I forgot about Game of Thrones. Is that over yet? Or is that still going on?
Yeah, one more half season.
Huh. Is everybody still alive? I mean, not everybody, but I'm saying...
Wait, when did you stop watching Game of Thrones?
I stopped watching right around when they killed that little girl.
No, yeah, she
died. Yeah, you're gonna have to nip that down.
They like burned her to death or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, you know what? Fuck this show. I don't need to watch this anymore.
She didn't have it coming.
Finally, a show that gets me.
She was a big bitch.
I remember because I was getting frustrated up to that point, and that was just sort of the breaking point for me. I didn't need to watch it anymore, so I stopped.
And yet you're still watching Smallville.
Yeah. Because Smallville gets me. Actually, Smallville, I'm not sure who got Smallville.
Season 8, they just murder the entire main cast and start over. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's crazy when he learns he has heat vision, he just burns away the
that school bus full of children.
It just goes bonkers.
Yeah, and instead we get episodes like through electricity and green kryptonite, Lana gets his powers, and so they finally get the boink. Because that was an issue. He was afraid that his powers
you
were going to...
You mentioned this last week.
No, last week I was saying that Lana was boinking Lex because she married him.
Oops.
Yeah. But they finally got to do it because she got the powers. But of course, powers are evil. And everybody, apparently. You know? If you're a normal person and you get powers, you're automatically evil.
And just like real life.
In Smallville world. You know? But... they send these really weird mixed messages in this show because...
you should be a better, stronger person. Stop being a stronger person!
Right, because, like, I mean... they've got the heroes, and they even formed the Justice League analog thing, you know? And, and Clark's always trying to be such a good person and shit like that, except... and then, you know, to contrast that, everybody around him who gets powers after being a normal person automatically does something terrible with him. Like, nobody just decides to do good things, you know? They all just kill people or whatever, you know? Like, it's crazy. Crazy.
The implication is that at any given moment, if anybody got a superpower, they would just choose to murder their friends.
Yeah, essentially.
This is my question. Clark does very normal things on this show. He doesn't destroy his life doing them. Like, he can pick up a glass of a cup of coffee or whatever, not smash glass. But he was terrified.
I know where this is going.
He was terrified of fucking. I feel like he's got other issues there.
I think his... alright, I think if they told me this right in the show, if I'm picking up what they're putting down, was that he was worried that in the throes of passion he would lose his control.
What the... that's insane.
Yeah.
They don't showcase all the times that he's murdered cows for milking them.
Just ripping those udders off, man. Yeah.
I'll have
there's a lot of one udder cows on the Kent farm.
One udder cow.
They're all one udder cows.
Well, you know what I mean. But anyway.
Ma, I've done it again.
He's just holding the limp.
Limp udder in a bucket full of red milk.
Yeah. Oh, God, no, come on.
Finally, a show that gets Sean.
Just hard cuts to Dawson's Creek.
A show where you'd know at the drop of the hat they would murder each other.
I guess that's probably what they were trying to make, right? Dawson's Creek with powers? But, yeah, I don't know, man. The weirder thing about that, and this is just one example, but it pops up a lot, is that in that same episode with Delana getting Clark's powers, is, you know, it took him 18 years to learn how to use all this shit, like his heat vision and all that crap, and his x-ray vision, and to block out the... all the sounds from his super hearing and all that stuff. And, you know, within like 5 minutes, she's doing everything he is.
He sucks.
Yeah, the implication there is he's not very good.
Apparently. Or that if you gain your powers, you gain the knowledge of how to use them or something. I don't know.
Maybe that's why they go super murdery.
Could be.
The entire 18-year process has been Clark suppressing his urge to kill.
That could be. Clark has a psychopath. A well-maintained psychopath, but...
Crank tricked us. He has to talk about Smallville.
Shit, you're right, I did. Sorry.
You didn't play the intro music.
It wasn't intentional, I apologize. It just came up in practical conversation. See?
Yeah, that was on me. Somebody save me.
All right, Mike, do we have any email? Email? Yeah? No? Maybe?
David writes, "Hi, Mike, Crank, and everyone at 4-Star. Crank, you mentioned that you built your computer.
I'd like to build one too. If you could please offer your advice, I'd appreciate it. I would like to build a laptop.
What?
It seems as though it's possible to do a lot of customizations with a desktop, but less so with a laptop. Does that mean it isn't worth to try to build one? What guides and resources would you recommend? In terms of processors, I would lose a lot of performance if I were to buy something other than an Intel.
Wow. I mean, you can build a laptop, and there are actually people that sell separate laptop components that are up to date. But at that point, cost-wise, you might as well just go configure a company one or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that's always been the thing about the mobile units like that, is that price-wise, it was just sort of prohibitive. That's why they did so well selling them from, like, Dell and Compaq and, you know, Hitachi and whatever, you know? So I've never actually put one together from scratch, so I can't give you a lot of advice on that. I have, you know, I've swapped parts in them before and, like, gotten older ones and putting in newer motherboards and shit like that, but, I mean, that's a whole different thing where you're buying old equipment and seeing what still works in it and then swapping in good parts, you know?
Yeah, those are, like, you can do, like, fun project computers, like, buying two or three, if you find, like, a model that you like fucking around with, just buy, like, two of those that are broken on eBay or something and then see, well, like you're saying, just find out what parts are still good and then put those together. But other than a hobby thing, I wouldn't imagine it's cost-effective to build one from scratch.
Yeah, it's
not the same thing like a desktop build would be.
If you're going to get it just doing it for kicks, it's cool. But, yeah, it's not like a practical thing, really, I don't think.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you know, like a week or two ago at the thrift store, I found this old Dell that they just couldn't power up for some reason. And, you know, it was, like, marked at $3 or something like that. And I'm like, well, for $3, what the hell? Maybe the LCD screen's good or something, you know?
Dell!
But then it was on a half-off sale, so I got it for $1.50.
Did you get it to power up?
It's got a BIOS password on it, and I haven't been able to crack it yet. But yes, it powers up. The hard drive's fine, as far as I can tell. The LCD screen's fine. Everything, all the components are fine. I just need to short out a pin to clear the BIOS password, and I haven't felt like fucking with it. But once I short that pin out, it'll clear the BIOS and reset it to factory, and then I can get into it and figure out what's going on with it.
How do you do that?
You got to take the whole damn thing apart and pull the board and flip the board over and then find the pin for the BIOS CMOS. You know?
Huh.
And then you got to short,
I think stuff like that. I mean, it's a fun, like, hobby thing to do, you know? Like, if you've got an evening, you just want to, like, kill some time and take apart a computer and see what's what, like, and it's for the right price, but...
Right. I mean, that was cheap, so...
Yeah.
The job to be done of laptops is still being done, right? Like, laptops aren't good enough yet. Nobody has a laptop that they're like, this is what I need. Everybody wants something still more.
There's also not like a standard frame. Like with PCs, you have just cases, literal boxes that you can just shove hardware in.
But the reason that you have that is because the job of the PC is done, right? The PCs are good enough. And so at that point, integration was no longer more valuable than componentization.
Well,
and so everything component, that market completely componentized, everything became a commodity, and there were standard frames for things that you could, and standard interconnects for everything you could do. As long as there's still value to be derived out of integration, which there is because laptops aren't good enough yet, you don't have that same sort of standardization and componentization.
Well, I don't feel like PCs are done in the same way that you are. Because I think that there's still plenty of computing stuff you can do with it, but it's not the thing isn't the case. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
The PC, like the PC in the way that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
It's about the components. The laptop, one of the key components is the case. The actual framework of that thing is a big part of it. You can't just say, well, I'm going to get a different case and then put a bunch of other stuff from this other thing in there, because
they're putting the they're using the packaging as part of the whole thing.
Right. It's you, because it's the differentiation.
It's completely integrated. So, you can't. It's the same thing with phones. Like you can't just take the guts of one phone and put it in a different phone's case.
Right. Again, because they're not good enough yet.
So, well, no, it's just because they're not standardized.
But they're not standardized because they're not good enough, right? That's it.
No, so, that's two different things.
It's not. It's, so for something
have,
to be...
You can have a standardized thing that sucks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, but nothing but nothing is going... It's componentization and commoditization that leads to standardization.
Right, but...
And you don't have... Componentized solutions are always going to be worse than an integrated solution until the integrated solution is good enough. At that point, somebody says, oh, I could have... an Android phone, or I could have this new componentized phone, and I'm not really losing anything by going to the componentized phone because it's good enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's because it's a, when I say good enough, I don't mean that it's never going to advance anymore. I mean well, that there's nothing more. Yeah. The economic version of good enough is there's nothing more to be gained by there's no differentiation to be gained, or differentiation is no longer going to be a selling point today. So at some point, desktop machines hit the point where, well, they're fast enough. Having one that has, you know, 100 more megahertz isn't going to make me spend $500 more on it anymore. And so then the pressure to integrate those components to make them faster and faster evaporated. And instead, commoditizing it made those more affordable. And that allowed people to sell, you know, powerful machines at a lower price. And so price became the pressure as opposed to performance. Once you hit that tipping point,
I mean, that argument is a little mixed because the idea of the laptops, if you were to be getting separate laptop parts, I don't think that you'd be able to part out with what's available right now a better laptop based on what you're able to put into it.
Well, you were just yes, I think that's true. I don't think that's not what we said. It's just like you said, the case is still the thing, right?
Right.
Producers of laptops are still differentiating on case, right? But like the case, the way that they make the case smaller and the components inside more powerful and the battery lasts longer and the screen bigger and brighter, all the things that we still want very much out of laptops is through integration. And integrating gives you a better solution for those things. And the more tightly they integrate, the better that solution gets.
Which also means that you can't just sell components.
Exactly. And then the moment that the technology tips to the point where, you know, oh, we can integrate tighter and make our screens 20 inches or something like that, and somebody's going to say, oh, you know, I don't need 20 inches. 17 inches or 15 inches or whatever it is good enough.
I always need 20 inches.
Point, integration starts giving you like the benefit of being able to charge a greater price. Instead, commoditizing is going to give you a better margin.
What's this guy's address? We're going to come to his house and argue in front of him.
I know where David lives.
So don't build your own laptop.
Don't do it! Is
the moral of the story here.
I think we could both suggest other useful things to do with your $5 at the thrift store.
Man, buy a Raspberry Pi.
If you want to fuck around with something from scratch, that's a good way to go.
Consoles, old PS3s or something, get a bunch of broken ones off of eBay and then try to make those work. That's fun.
Networking PS3s together in a cell network, it's a lot of fun.
Get a bunch of really old Dell laptops or compact laptops and then just get like five of them that are all broken and try to make one working one.
Xboxes are super fun to mod. In 360s, I saw that you could like
just get into modding. That's probably a more beneficial and more interesting hobby.
Well, and any time you can start with an already constructed base platform to expand on, you know, you're ahead of a lot of the tedious shit at that point. Like the Raspberry Pi is a great example because you've got all your basic components there. You're putting it together like a model to customize it to what you want it to do.
Just 3D print your new laptop.
There you go.
Well, that's going to be the future.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's not, I mean, no joke. Because, I mean, when you can start getting to the point where, like, somebody at their house can custom build a case, then, you know, the argument about cases being integral to the whole thing becomes less important, right? You know?
Just got to figure out how to make sure the case doesn't melt when it starts overheating.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, if it ever does, like, the tech on 3D modeling, there's a lot of really fantastic possibilities that are kind of hindered by the products being used. But I also am not keen on the idea of, like, having so many more things that are being built that won't be usable in like a 2 years' time.
That, yeah, I mean, because even with a single company, and sometimes even within a single company's like product line for a particular model, between right. the difference between like 5 years of production means you can't use like 2005's thing on 2001's thing, you know?
What's kind of interesting is the idea of like when you only, instead of producing a machine, you know, like say we're gonna build 20,000 machines and have those, and then what doesn't sell, we try to recoup a loss by selling them at this deep discounts and then whatever, and then they just get thrown out later anyway.
Right.
The idea of at some point we just sell you the design of the thing, you build it yourself, or you print it yourself, and so there's the waste is only based off of who actually buys the thing.
They it's funny when I because I was trying to figure out.
For like factory jobs. Kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. When I got this cheap laptop from the thrift store, you know, I brought it home and figured out that I needed the BIOS password. So I was looking online to try to find out if there was either like a a key gem for it that I could find, or if there was something simple I could do without having to totally break it down, And so I wound up calling Dell support for their out of warranty support.
Dude.
And
it's like the one guy that's been here for 13 years.
Well, it was just the expression in his voice when I told him what model and year it was. Because this thing's from 2000.
It was older than him, wasn't it?
Probably. It was built in 2000, you know? I mean, and, you know, he's talking to me. He's like, oh, my, that's really old. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's very old.
I can't wait to play that new game, Doom.
I don't even, you know,
missed.
This was a Latitude, so it might have been able to handle it. But yeah.
I just got Riven, all 7 discs.
Riven.
Oh man, remember when you had to load shit off of parts from like 12 floppies?
Because Myst wasn't boring enough.
For the time, I really liked Myst. Riven was frustrating because I wanted to like it a lot more.
Myst, Seventh Guest.
Seventh Guest
was amazing.
Sean was watching a playthrough video of it.
It looked like a nightmare.
It's again, for the time, it was fucking great.
For the time. Shy Gypsy, Slyly, Scryly, Tris by my Crypt. I still remember that fucking
For the time, it was a fucking nightmare.
It was a really engaging game, though, you know?
Yeah, it was. Great.
Good music. Batman did all the music for it.
Yep.
An engaging
Batman did?
Batman.
Fatman and
Batman.
Team Fat.
I don't know.
That's still one of my favorite video game soundtracks.
I'm trying to remember.
The sequel is very disappointing.
11th Hour? Yeah.
Do you guys remember? I think it was just called D. It was like a red D on a black background.
Yeah, one where it's like, it's not Dracula, but it is.
I'm trying to remember. There were bits of that I remember being really good. But it, like, you were stuck in this house and you had it was a point and click, like, exploration game.
Three!
And had puzzles you had to figure out and shit.
Did you play
That's all of the 90s.
What's the new one by the Maniac Mansion guy?
The new one or the other?
No, the new one.
New.
Nano. Shit.
About the guy who made the picture tubes and...
Nixies?
Yeah, like that. Oh, God, what was the name of the thing? Oh, I'm going to be really upset.
So it's not Day of the Tentacle.
No.
Because that's definitely not new.
It was like a Kickstarter thing came out last year. It was Something City or something. Shit. I'm really upset that
Shit forgotten. City.
It was,
I would not put it past him to make a game that called that.
Yeah.
Shit City?
You play the Sam and Max games? Mm-hmm. That's fucking great.
Huh. God, I think it starts with an F. God, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Buck City. The rest of the email is...
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Mike, I'm excited about your convention in Spain. It sounds like a fun trip. Have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I'd like to make my now annual pitch for a live taping of the Crankcast, maybe around C2E2. Thanks for everything. David. P.S. Hi, Hendrik. Are you coming to the live Crankcast?
Well.
You coming up for C2?
Yeah.
You didn't really thought about that for a beat.
I was trying to remember if they haven't mailed me my ticket yet.
That's because they don't want you to come.
Well, every year I keep expecting not to get approved on my application.
They don't want you to come because they hate you.
I'm surprised they actually still have a professional registration, to be honest. You know?
The one game from that era I still haven't played is Grim Fandango. And I know, that's the fucking one everybody loves. And I got it on GOG when it was on sale. I still haven't gotten around to playing it.
They re-released it for the PlayStation not
I saw
too
it,
long
too.
Ago.
Are the controls okay?
They have two versions of it. They have the old tank stick controls, which are horrible.
Oh, stick controls.
But that was the way like the original was.
Really?
But they also have a just push in the direction you want to go, and it makes it very terrible.
Huh. I'm wondering now if I... Shit. I probably should have gotten that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like $10 now or something. But, like, I literally sat down with my family and, like, you're all going to watch me play through this from beginning to end because this is the most important
because
thing.
Because I'm a monster.
You're going to watch me have fun.
Your son's like, okay, here's a 15-minute presentation.
On why you're torturing me, Daddy.
That and
they all enjoyed it.
I did not get into any of the Monkey Island games.
Was it you that was just telling about that?
About Monkey Island?
You just said you'd never played Monkey Island?
People who love Monkey Island.
I've always wanted to.
Monkey
there
Island
no
and Grim Fandango
Monkey Island fans.
Are the two best games ever made.
I'm not going to deny that. I'm just saying it's frustrating because those came out like parallel to the time I was playing the 7th Guest, so I was like, I got no time for this.
I don't understand how people...
I chose Leisure Suit Larry, and that was my CR game.
People who haven't played Monkey Island, I don't understand how they get any jokes now.
that's a reasonable assessment, though. I know a lot of people whose humor stemmed from that game.
Yeah.
I think...
And so many games reference back to the gags in Monkey Island. It's just like... It's pervasive in pop culture. Well, not pop culture, in game culture.
I don't play games nearly as much as I used to, so if there's a lot of referential humor based on that, I'm not missing out as much as I would.
Have any of you, did you ever play any of the Discworld video games?
I didn't even know there were Discworld video games.
Oh, yeah, and they were full of that just dry humor.
Maniac, though.
What?
Like the Terry Pratchett Discworld?
Yeah, they had a couple of games.
What were those? Were they just PC games or?
No, a couple of them were out on Sega, I think.
Sega.
Oh, that's why.
Sega CD.
Sega CD.
I wasn't able to get a console for a long fucking time. So.
And what they also had PC ports of them, I think. I don't know if they ever came out on like Linux or Mac or anything, but.
What if we got them on the emulator?
But they
Probably.
But yeah, they were. They were fun, you know. They were point and click puzzle adventure type things. Yeah, you know?
That's cool.
But there was a lot of interaction with characters, and they actually, you know, had decent voice actors because they had the space because it was CD. You know, So it was entertaining, and a lot of that just humor that those jokes, the Discworld type jokes. You know,
I'll tell you what I just played was Abduction, the spelled weird, the new one from the Cyan people. I had to get a new graphics card in order to play it.
What?
It was not worth it. It's not a good game.
How's it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there were a lot of clever fucking games back in the day. Like, just smart games that you could tell because the graphics were not as good as they wanted it to be, they put way more into writing.
Yeah.
So, story-wise, you couldn't hide behind, well, players are just going to be enamored with the fucking scenery, which is great. The scenery is always amazing, but the story a lot of times now is, and I would get shit for this because I also don't game nearly as much. So
games.
I don't know a lot of things out there.
I still enjoy The Room for the iOS.
Oh,
devices.
I haven't played the new one.
Those are super good.
Which one?
The Room.
The Room.
It's like puzzle boxes that you actually manipulate on. What was the one?
It was made by Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. That's why.
Is it tearing you apart?
Sean, what was the one with the puzzles with the lines and the crazy, the guy who did Braid?
game you played on the island?
Yeah. It's The Witness.
Yeah. New Witness Mist.
Fantastic.
New Mist. New Mist.
I mean, like, it's if you like the Mist games, it's phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really an amazing thing.
I'm
terrified by Resident Evil. It is so good.
What do you know?
I haven't played a game this year yet. And I think the last game I did play, I went back and started playing Bioshock again.
What you do is you get that laptop working and you start installing a bunch of old games on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I have old gear lying around, so I can run old OSs and programs and shit.
Like, doing stuff like that, that's the fun hobby of the thing. Like,
Bioshock.
I can't really imagine the special kind of hell of trying to get an actual new laptop to work.
Oh, yeah, like, trying to install, like, Win98 on a modern machine. That sucks, dude.
You done got
No, Win98. What you really get stuck with is getting, like, fucking Vista.
Vista. You have a twin Vista.
I never actually installed that. I skipped straight from that to 7.
Yeah.
From, like, XP to 7.
That's the way to go.
And I don't like 10. I really don't like 10.
I thought I wouldn't, but I like it a lot more than... What don't you like about it?
Well, to be fair, I haven't used it on desktop. I've only used it on a tablet.
Oh, yeah. I could see that being kind of nightmarish.
It just seems, it's got a lot of annoying things that are different from what I'm used to, I suppose.
What tablet? Are you, like, get, like, a Samsung or something?
No, I've got, like, it's just a cheap tablet, and it's, I don't even remember what the manufacturer is on it. But, you know, you can get those under $100 tablets now.
Yeah. No, I would not want that on a mobile device. It works good. If you can get rid of all of the bells and whistles, like, that they make you start off with, that you don't need.
Well, yeah, but
it's pretty nice.
Even after turning all that stuff off, it just still seems like it's... I don't know. I'm used to the older Windows systems where you still had some sense of customization to them, I guess. You could make them work the way you wanted them to work instead of having to get used to the way they wanted you to work, you know? And I didn't feel like I had that with 10.
You're talking about on the tablet, though.
Right. And again, yeah, I haven't used it on a desktop machine, so.
Yeah. I mean, you get that a bit more on the desktop versions. I can't speak for the tablet at all. I would not be able to imagine that it's super user-friendly on a mobile device. But for me, it was a pretty good upgrade. Or it felt more of like a side grade.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, all of the stuff that they put in the new version, I turned off. It's like, here's your new user assistant. Don't want that.
Tiles. God, I hate tiles.
Yeah. Like, oh, nope, don't want that either.
And Cortana. I don't like Cortana.
Yep.
Cortana.
Right off.
I never worked with 8 or anything either, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you went from 7 to
7 10. To 10, right.
Uh-oh. That'd be weird. If you were on 8 before, then you're... Oh, wait, no, 7... I'm trying to remember what 7 was like.
7 wasn't much different than XP to me. I mean, it was more stable.
Once you get into it, there's like... Some stuff that was, like, really jarring when they changed, but there weren't any huge...
Is that Longhorn?
Is what?
I don't know their spy names.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it on desktop one of these days. Supposedly, 10 had really, like, had even lighter requirements than 7, so you could technically install 10 on an older machine. Maybe I'll try it on this old Dell laptop.
Make sure to call tech support when you do.
Make sure to have a fan
blog. You'll get a laugh for that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to install Windows 10 on here.
It's got the little sticker that says it was built for 98.
Oh, man.
Before or after 10? 98's more than 10.
be like.
Ask him if it'll void your warranty if you try to install 10 on it. But after you've taken it apart.
Right, right. I've already got those little silver stickers off that, you know, leave the goop on them. But anyway, yeah. Do we have any more email, Mike?
No, that was it.
Oh, good. Good. I hope we answered your question thoroughly.
We didn't, actually. That was still from the first email.
Yeah.
The second one was about the live cast.
Well, that was all the same email, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That
was part one and part two, I guess. Oh, are we doing a live cast?
No.
No?
Okay. Well, I hope we answered your question.
I'm still pulling for another 24-hour show one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Another?
Yeah.
The Crankcast filibuster?
Oh, man.
That's how Crankcast started.
No, we were already around before that.
That was, like, the real weekend.
That was our second birthday, I think. Or third. I can't remember. No, second. It was our second. Yeah, second anniversary was our.
Nobody wants this to happen.
The 24-hour show. Everybody wants it to happen.
No.
We have kind of live.
We have never. Well, that's the thing. It was sort of live. It was live with a delay, but it was live when we did the 24-hour show. Kind of. But
it was the dumbest thing we've ever done.
We have never gotten an email telling us never to do it again. So, and we've gotten lots of emails requesting it. Lots. Many's.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of emails.
Yeah. I mean, dozens at least. You know. Possibly more than a handful.
Whatever.
Oh, Mike. I wish you were more enthused.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, let's wrap this up then, because I can't bear all this bubbliness from you.
I'm about to watch some Andy Sidaris movies.
Like what?
I don't know. I'm thinking Picasso Trigger.
Okay.
Fuck.
That's a movie that gets Sean.
Mm-hmm. First minute, children murder.
All right, then.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Picasso Trigger. All right, then. Well, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. Battlepug's on the move again, so you can refresh yourself at battlepug.com.
I'm trying.
And let's see. Sean's website is thankyouforflying.com. And I don't know. I can't remember anybody else's website. So if you want to say it, go ahead and say it.
I got a thing coming out. New heavy metal.
Oh, yeah?
Which may be out next week.
What issue is that?
289.
289. Is it heavy metal monthly or bimonthly?
This one's running a little late, but I think it's kind of bi-monthly.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the issue 289 should be out next week. You can pre-order it at heavymetal.com.
Heavy metal!
I hear it's your one-way ticket to midnight.
It is. All right.
Out of sight. Has anybody else got anything in stores?
This week?
Yeah.
We're
a little late, but, you know.
No, I don't have anything out this week. Next week I do.
Next week?
Next week is Mr. Miracle.
Oh, I guess since you were talking about it this week, the thing that you said you couldn't talk about you were doing with Dark Horse last week is now something you can talk about, right?
It is?
Well, you mentioned you were doing it.
Oh,
well, you said you were drawing Dr. Broom from Hellboy, so I mean, it's kind of like you said.
Oh yeah, I guess I don't care.
It's kind of like you said you were doing it, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, they probably don't want me to say it, but I mean, I don't like those rules; they're stupid.
The thing that you can't talk about is going to be out, or can you not talk about that?
I have no idea. I don't know what the schedule is on this thing. I know that I'm not the only person drawing it.
Okay.
I'm not even the only person in Chicago drawing it.
Whoa.
is Jim drawing it too?
I wish.
Freaky deaky.
It would be really good on that.
Freaky deaky indeed.
Indeed. Well, all right then. In that case, we'll see you all next week and have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend yourself, punk.
You have a good weekend.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm sick of your shit.
Good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Good weekend.
No, no, it's Jim.
Well, he's not here to do it for us, so. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.